everybody, welcome to MacGyvecast, episode 116.
Yes, of 139, titled Jericho Games. So this is season 6, episode 12, aired 7th of January, 1991.
Yep, it's
Fuck me.
We're in 91 now.
Yes.
So another episode that starts with people walking up to an arena and then right to the hockey.
Oh, well, this is what got to go to the summary. So MacGyver reunites with his high school sweetheart at an international sports competition, which is being sponsored by the woman's abusive businessman husband. So
is the Jericho Games a real hockey thing?
No. Do you know what this is based on?
No.
Ted Turner created something called the Goodwill Games.
Okay, I remember the Goodwill Games.
I think they competed for twice. Once was in Calgary or Edmonton, so North Alberta. And then I think that might have been the first one. Then there's this, because this was after the Olympics had been a failure, because in 80 there was Afghanistan. So the So the Americans boycotted the Moscow Olympics because of Afghanistan. 84, the Russians kind of countered and didn't go to Los Angeles. And
the irony that we stood up for Afghanistan.
And then he started these Goodwill Games, which was, well, he needed content to put on his cable station.
All right. MacGyver hockey rink, not unfamiliar turf. It's usually...
Yeah, we open on a big yellow metal hoop, a leftover from whatever the theme of the Yellow Zone was from the 1986 World's Exposition held in Vancouver.
Oh.
Behind them is the Agrodome, which maybe just a couple of years earlier would have been decorated with full-sized fiberglass cows that were frequently stolen by grad classes. So we cut to a commie goalie wearing all red with a 3CP logo over his CCM helmet.
All right.
They're actually playing in the Agrodome, which is not a good building for hockey. If you notice, it's too small. It's round and too small.
Yeah.
It's a little better for basketball, but it's really built for livestock.
Oh.
Mac is in the stands and comes down to talk to the commie coach, who is a return actor, but is playing a different role.
Okay.
Even though the IMDb indicates it's supposed to be the same character, they are not.
And then he introduces him to his star retarded player.
Yes. The commie mentions that Mac is in charge of international relations. I guess that's one word to call spreading herpes.
He jacks off our new players.
And he thinks they invented Glasnost. He wants to introduce some player that the NHL scouts are all after. So we cut to this player who will be bedding down with MacGyver, who really seems to be into that. At least this time, he's actually wearing the proper Jaffa-style helmet that a commie actually would have been wearing at the time.
All right, that's attention to detail.
And I have to admit, I really miss the old Agrodome cows.
All right.
Mac wanders out and talks to a woman under an awning, and then wants to talk to the lady in charge of housing athletes. Turns out that redhead is Ellen, that Mac used to rub his stink on 20 years ago. Haven't seen each other since graduation.
Yeah, we were high school sweethearts. I cried my eyes out when you left. Really? Was it that bad?
And according to Siri, Richard Dean Anderson was 40 years old in 1991, which means he graduated at age 20. So I guess he flunked out a couple times, crocodile rocking. Ellen figured that setting up MacGyver would be a good way for them to find each other again. So she set him up with Commie just so she'd come find him, just so he'd come find her.
Suspicious.
In the past years, now she's with Jericho Broadcasting.
It's apparently so weird how all these Vancouver episodes have like the same feeling, because of how it's the same way Washington is. It's the green and gray where everything just feels the same.
Yes. She does a weird fondle of his hand, which is then caught by a creeper with a long lens. You can tell from the shutter sounds and black and white freeze frames they keep putting up.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Commie is now, we now cut to Commie being shocked that Mac lives on a boat and owns a TV and a VCR, which just a couple of episodes ago were kept upstairs in his bedroom and are now back downstairs. How convenient.
Very convenient.
Commie is yakoving all over the place.
In America. Can we rent American videos?
And then Ellen just pops in with her Linwood Wallabangs hairstyle, which you don't understand unless you've watched a very particular episode of Almost Live, which I will link to in our show notes.
Great.
And anyways, I'm now back from a half hour detour into YouTube watching almost live clips because this is a very not good show.
Yeah. Almost live is a very not good show too, though.
Oh, it was better than this.
I don't know. It
was a premium regional comedy show.
Okay.
Commie comes down from upstairs shirtless and then gets weird when he finds Wallabangs there.
I thought it was just the guys who hang out. I know women not here. I thought it'd go okay. Listen to music, my tunes. Yes.
So it seems that everyone wants to cut off a slice of MacGyver in this episode. We cut to the Commie being interviewed outside now of the Coliseum, which is just up from the Agrodome.
Hey, I like how he uses the boombox to hide his boner.
Yeah. Where the Commie dispels that he will be playing for the fucking Los Angeles Kings. Wallabangs is interrogating MacGyver about his past and present. He says there is a girl, but he isn't sure he is serious. So are they talking about Agent Stasi here?
I guess.
More camera shoots.
Because she's on assignment for the Phoenix Foundation. Yeah, that's Agent Stasi.
Okay.
I remember I saw this. I was like, yeah, that's why I made note of it.
Yes, because Mac and his commitment issues.
Yeah.
Mac says that everyone in his life died. He was already running when he ran into Wallabangs.
He's like, everybody in life died. My friend, my parents. It's such a weird thing for him to say. It was like, wow, that's pretty harsh, Mac.
All these years, she thought it was something she did.
Yeah.
She really wants to get the loving from MacGyver real bad.
So we think.
More photos are taken and kisses returned. Meanwhile, the captain from Chips is sexually harassing an underling dressed like an extra from an 80s hair metal song.
And then in the background on the actual set, you see her husband meeting with the photographer who has pictures of his wife with MacGyver.
Well, I think that comes up. And then, now I will quote from my notes. I'm back from a 30-minute dive into 80s music videos, concluding with Centerfold by Jay Giles and a brief tour into Go-Go's Land. And then I took a shower because fuck this show.
It's so bad, dude. It's getting worse somehow.
Yes. This is where Evil Captain from Chips is looking at the 8x10 makeout shots of Wallabangs and MacGyver.
Yep.
Commie eats a hot dog at a concession stand I eat from every time I go to a Vancouver Giants junior hockey game.
That's so weird, man.
Yes, except now it's a different burger joint.
Oh, yeah, he's suggestively eating a hot dog as well.
Yes, Mac fat shames him for eating a hot dog because you don't know what it's made out of.
Yeah, there's two of them, actually, but such lazy writing. You know what's in those?
Yeah, and you do know that 2016 MacGyver is going to be a fucking raw vegan who does yoga.
Yeah, I know, and he's also going to be multinational. And he's going to
and
be
probably
lady.
A woman.
Yeah, it's going to be a brown-colored woman or maybe like a gray-colored woman. I'm for it.
Yes, and Wallabangs comes in and puts a pin on MacGyver's lapel that she designed. Blah, 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 sad story. She went to art school, and I don't know if I don't fucking care.
I'm MacGyver raw.
Yes. Chip's captain pulls the "Do you know who I am? Don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. Don't with my wife." Wallabangs, you whore. So time has passed.
Yeah. Now we're MacGyver's houseboat, and retarded guy's taking his bike out for a spin.
Yeah. Commie is going for a bike ride. Unless MacGyver wants to talk, he does not. He wants to check his mail, and then just Wallabangs just walks in. Just walks in. Just because why?
Yeah. People just walk into MacGyver's. So it's like MacGyver's probably there. I see the guy leaving. So I wouldn't object to that too much.
And but the door is unlocked. I mean, who has a fucking unlocked door? I don't know. Mac is angry. He was lied to. She didn't want to hurt him. Just reminisce about the old times. And apparently Mac doesn't do it with married chicks. Wallabangs shows off her bruised neck. Sort of. Of course. Yeah. Of course he did it. Did it. Goddamn, this show is not subtle.
Yeah, it's one of the most obvious. It's just not good. It's the most worst writing. The exposition is clearly exposition. It's horrible.
Yes, and then Henchman comes in to make sure Wallabang shows up at the studio. And then one
MacGyver.
Punch knocks out MacGyver.
Yeah. A punch to the temple, too.
Yes, angry MacGyver is walking in the rain, up to the CBC Vancouver buildings. He has a bone to pick with the captain from Chips. Wallabangs now denies being abused.
Yeah.
So we cut back to the houseboat, unlocked, of course. Commie has left a tape in the ghetto blaster, leaving a message for MacGyver, asking him to record the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, and then we cut to MacGyver.
Well, here's where I hit pause.
All right.
Because in the background, you can see that Mac has a very 70s home stereo.
Yeah.
A turntable with dual equalizers. A mid-sized reel-to-reel, and a single-deck tuner compact cassette amplifier.
Okay.
And they also want you to think that he has encyclopedia set, but he has about a 25 to 40 volume, half-inch thick, hard-covered red book volumes in his bookshelf. I don't know what the fuck those are.
Anatomy of Underage Children.
There's a lot of them. So anyways, we now cut to Mac sitting back as he watches the opening ceremony coverage.
And they're interviewing said abuser and his wife.
Well, no, he's waiting for the lighting of the friendship torch.
All right.
Mac sees something weird in the background. It's himself walking past the live interview.
Yeah.
He then, because of course this is modern DVR technology, he can go back and frame by frame it while he's still recording.
I record everything. Every time I turn on the TV, I record it. I'm MacGyver.
Yes. Captain from Chips is being interviewed. Then evil MacGyver yells his name, Jericho, and then shoots him twice before running away.
Yeah. And then of course, it was MacGyver.
It's got a little more interesting. Stupid, but interesting.
Yeah.
Commie chases after fake MacGyver and sees him pull off his fake latex mask when he gets to the car.
But then he shoots a couple shots at him, and then he takes off running.
Because why wouldn't he take it off in public?
Yeah.
MacGyver then rolls in.
Hey, man, it's hard to drive with this fake mask on.
In the shitty Nomad.
Yeah.
And the Commie is still being shot at, so he seems to have magically teleported there with his car.
Yeah.
Mac uses the, fake Mac drives off in his town car, Commie runs off because I don't know, he has an existential crisis, and MacGyver is arrested because the cop just don't give a shit.
Yeah, we don't hear it.
Yes. Mac in the back of the squad car, Mac uses the Jericho game's pin, which he manages to get off and then drop behind him, from his mouth, to
and the all too excited reporter points over the cop. Hey, look, he's not the back seat.
Yes.
He's like smiling. What's this about?
But you notice that this cop car has all fabric seats and no perp screen.
Yeah, it's not a real squad.
Mac gets driven off holding under a delivery truck.
Uh-huh.
So this is an all PNE show, so now they cut into what is probably the old forum, which is the old ice surface for the area.
Okay.
Fake MacGyver is talking to Wallabangs, who's the security, the henchman, private investigator, who orchestrated everything. If the cops get him, faux MacGyver goes to jail. Commie has to die, so they gotta kill the Commie. Wallabangs thinks he will call because men are stupid. MacGyver is now creeping around a garage, and catching some TV interviews where Wallabangs is begging for Commie to call her.
Yeah, and he's watching through some storefront or some sort of window or something.
Yeah, a garage storefront.
Yeah.
So right in view of BC Place.
And he's wearing the exact same outfit, but just sunglasses.
Yes, and a hat.
Yeah, and then cut to nighttime.
Yes, back to the CBC studios. MacGyver is breaking in all ninja-like. If by ninja-like you mean walking in loudly in a noticeable fashion and opening an open door. Mac walks through an office and then fondles and plays with an answering machine amongst the fixings for making a latex mask. There are a whole bunch of creeper shots of MacGyver that were used to make a facial mold.
Yeah, really weird.
We then cut to Wallabangs, who has mysteriously teleported in behind MacGyver. And now he's all angry.
What was this all about? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Wallabangs goes all bunny boiler. It was Mac, her father, and then three husbands. Apparently, the captain from Chips has a hankering for cheap blondes and strangling.
Huh.
Yeah, that's good to know. He's a choker. They had a prenuptial agreement. And she also has some of the 80-est shoulder pads.
Oh, so bulky. It's like Dana Scully, 93.
She's a full-on linebacker.
I know.
Yeah.
It's really overstated. Then as soon as MacGyver's walked out at gunpoint, a retarded foreign guy calls.
Yes. Kami calls in, and she tells him to come to the studio. Come alone. Don't trust anyone.
Well, then he's now at gunpoint with MacGyver. Come on, don't do this.
Back from commercials, they're both being walked down a hallway at gunpoint.
Conveniently.
Yes. They're going to put them in the incinerator. Yes. That's what all TV studios have. Giant incinerators for burning of all the ethnic minorities.
Where we burn all the footage.
Yes. Mac tries to lift. So they're locked into this ridiculous burn room.
Yeah.
Mac tries to lift up a grate. That doesn't work. He finds some rebar, which is too short to reach the inspection port, and then finds another section that screws into it. Of course, because you're going to have thread rod in the bottom of the incinerator.
It's fucked up. Hurry, MacGyver, hurry. And then he's putting the fucking rod through the fire. It looks like a weird dick.
Yes, but what is stupid is that the incinerator has one single burner that's on the door.
Yeah.
In front of the port.
Yeah, so you can just stand away from it and be like, it's hot.
So, yeah, if you just stand back to the other side, it's just going to be like an oven. Nothing is in that room is going to efficiently burn. So I don't understand what, aside from killing, baking people to death, it is not an incinerator.
Yeah, and it's like, I want him a steady 350. I want his flesh to be moist.
Yes. So Mac manages to bend the rod to actuate the door dog to push back the burner, which has a weird control yoke on
it. Yeah, high, medium, low.
Yeah, and he keeps pushing this. So it's a very thin, like, quarter-inch diameter rod that he uses to push back this big handle.
Yeah, it just keeps getting more and more rod, too.
It just would not have worked. He then uses a drawstring of Kami's track pants to lasso the little door dog and open it up. They're glad to say that's a really shitty incinerator.
Yeah, it's one of the worst.
Mac sends the commie off to call 911, and I agree with the wall graffiti they walk past. This is all poo.
I didn't see it was all poo. Where's it?
No, it's just poo. It's spray painted on the hallway.
Oh, yeah. Wall.
Poo. But someone has half-heartedly tried to scrub off, so poo. Henchman comes into the hallway. Mac is going to use a camber crane to kill him. He somehow rams it into him at head level, which then somehow manages to get the henchman lying across it like it hit him in the stomach.
Oh, my God, the poo side. I just noticed that went back through it. That's hilarious.
Yes, and then pushes him into a bunch of scene flats, which I have to imagine would kill him. Where are we? And, of course, and the gun goes flying. Of course, Wallabangs comes in and picks it up. She teleports in behind him again. She just can't seem to get him out of her life.
She's like a nightcrawler, this bitch.
And of course, she mentions that Mac was a member of Students for Gun Control. Mac can't get her help. Or Mac can get her help. She sums up Mac pretty well as being a basically an empty social justice warrior, I would say.
Yeah, it's really...
By saying, you don't care about me, you care about yourself. You care about rights and justice. You care about gun control and the environment, but not me. No, never me.
Yeah, he's an empty vessel. It's a really damning indictment of their lead character. Do the writers hate him too?
I would think he's maybe fucked his way through all the female writers.
I don't know.
Maybe a writer's assistant.
Did they even have a female writer? That's my
question. I don't know.
It's kind of like...
Well, they would have had a continuity girl.
Well, from X-Files files, you learn that Darren Morgan hates Fox Mulder's character and maybe even hates the Covenant in real life.
Well, yeah, he's kind of a detestable person.
But you realize that's why in his episodes, he's always the butt of the joke. But like, maybe this is the furthest they can go with MacGyver, just having this woman talk about what a horrible...
Well, maybe one of the writers married a woman MacGyver had thrown away like a tissue.
Oh, yeah.
Richard Dean Anderson.
That makes sense because it's like, hey, man, I'm still kind of famous. I work in the business. You're not pretty enough for the star, but I can write you a part.
Yes, and Wallabang fires to the left and then to the right. He says they were kids in high school and then has a breakdown, dropping the gun and crying on his shoulder. Why couldn't you just love me?
And then Nikolai, or his name is, has a gold medal, and he's leaving, and he goes, part of this is yours too, MacGyver. And he goes, no, it's all yours. He goes, that's why I'm taking it.
Yeah, so this is back on the love boat. Kami is leaving. Wallabangs might be going to the Nut Hut. Kami won a gold medal. Mac closes the door and has a real smell the fart moment. Goes below the hi-fi I mentioned earlier and pulls out a yearbook. Apparently, Wallabangs was the head cheerleader, class of 68. She had really big traditional
MacGyver
bangs.
MacGyver made her the class of 69.
That's when she used to have bangs instead of her walla bangs.
Yeah.
So in 1968, they were ironically crocodile rocking.
I don't know.
Or he was crocodile rocking in junior high in 1958, maybe.
What year did Crocodile Rock even come out?
I don't know. That's so I would say, well, this was an episode.
Yeah, Crocodile Rock's like a joke now. I think it was then too. I think it's like 70s, isn't it?
No, it's I think it might even be Bill Haley.
1973.
Okay.
So that's the Elton John version. He invented it, right? That's his song.
I guess it is. Yeah.
Why were they listening to Crocodile Rock in the 50s when he was a greaser?
Well, it was a fake stand. Yeah, it was a Crocodile Rock stand-in or sound alike.
But it was I think it was a re-recording of Crocodile Rock. It was damn fucking perfect.
Yes. So this was an episode.
Yeah.
But hey, at least Pete went unmentioned again.
Yeah, he's got some sad eye stuff. And now he's a corpse, everybody.
So here's what we learn. Women are bitches that lie about abuse, and MacGyver is an unfeeling robot.
And MacGyver's the only one who can fix them.
Next week, we get The Wasteland, which seems like a fucking Captain Planet episode.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay.